Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is our 11th Quran study session, and I would like to discuss faith or iman, which is the cornerstone of Islam, the centerpiece of Islam and the key to salvation. When I say I have faith, what is exactly that I have which my next door neighbor, John Doe, who doesn't call himself a person of faith, does not have? I submit to you that we rarely consider this very important question. When you say you have faith, what is it that you have and your next door atheist does not have? What is the essence of faith? What are the attributes and characteristics of faith or iman? What are the requirements of faith? Are there any acid tests for a Muslim to find out if her faith is authentic and complete? Since the early days of Islam, theologians have pondered and debated these important questions. In major schools of thought, such as Mu'tazili, Asha'iri, and Shi'i, theologians have come up with different answers to these questions. Different answers. Their opinions on iman and faith diverge so much that you would feel dizzy when you read their books on iman. And that has happened to me, by the way. One reason for their sharp disagreement on what iman is has to do with the fact that the Quran does not clearly define what iman is, what faith is. Let me repeat one more time. One of the key reasons why there is so much disagreement on what iman is among Muslim theologians is that the Holy Quran does not clearly define faith or iman. The word iman and its derivatives are used extensively in the Quran to the tune of about 812 times. Unfortunately, the Quran does not give us, as I mentioned, a definition for iman. It would have been nice if the Quran came with a glossary. If the Quran had a glossary at the beginning, then we could easily look up important critical concepts such as iman or faith, taqwa or righteousness, adl or justice. Yeah, it's a bummer, I know. The Quran, and for that matter, all sacred scriptures, the Christian Bible, the Hebrew Bible, the Zoroastrian Avesta, none of these sacred scripture are books of philosophy. None of the sacred scriptures is a book of philosophy where everything is neatly defined and analyzed. The only way to get a good sense for what the Quran calls faith or iman is to take all the verses that one way or the other deal with the subject of iman, put them side by side and study them carefully. Each verse offers a hint. Each verse offers us a glimpse at what the Quran calls iman. Taken together, hopefully you will be able to come up with a conception of iman. Now, this exercise is not perfect, but it is the next best thing. Inshallah, I will take the same approach in the next two or three sermons, which I will discuss the concept of iman. Now, we will not have time to go over all the 812 instances where the word iman or its derivatives are used in the Quran. Instead, I will pick up verses that I think are the most critical for developing a good idea about iman. One thing that will become immediately obvious to you today is that unfortunately, many of us have a caricature of iman, not true iman. The reason many of us have a caricature of iman or faith is because of bad Islamic education. Bad Islamic education and bad Islamic teachers. I will split my talk into two sections. What are the attributes of faith and what are the requirements of faith? Today I will discuss some of the main attributes and characteristics of iman according to the Holy Quran. Next time, inshallah, I will talk about the requirements of faith. As usual, I will heavily rely on the teachings of Muslim mystics such as Rumi and Hafez to develop my talk. Let's begin with what iman means in the Arabic language. Iman comes from the root amina, which has a range of meanings. Amina means to trust, to be secure, to be in safety, and to confine in. If we really grasp the different meanings of amina that I just shared with you, I think we will get a general idea what iman entails. First, iman will give you inner safety and security. If you are safe and secure inside, then you will have peace and serenity. And secondly, amina means confine in. What does that mean? Well, faith will create a zone for you. It will create a zone for you to conduct your daily life. This zone has boundaries that are set by God's commandments in the Holy Quran. If you stay within the bounds, within the confines of this zone, then you will lead a moral life, a godly life. Unfortunately, the dictionary definition of iman really doesn't still tell us what the essence of faith is. It perhaps gives us a sense for what the fruits of faith are, what the consequences of iman are, but we want to know what iman essentially is. What are the main attributes and characteristics of faith? Now let's delve deeper. You see, one of the worst mistakes in religion, in all religion, is to reduce faith to belief and doctrine. Faith certainly has a belief component. It has a belief component. In fact, the Quran sometimes uses the word iman to refer to beliefs. For example, in chapter 2, verse 177, the Quran describes who the pious, the righteous are. مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ Those who believe in God and the last day, in the angels, the scripture, and the prophets. The verse spells out some of the core beliefs in Islam. However, equating faith with holding such beliefs is misleading. Unfortunately, many Muslims, many Jews and Christians reduce faith to theological beliefs and doctrines. This mistake is actually quite prevalent in religious seminaries. The clergy and religious instructors spend their lifetime arguing over correct doctrines. They are at each other's throat. They fight over doctrines, just like soldiers fighting in defense of their homeland. with the same zest. The clergy, religious scholars, routinely call those who do not subscribe to their particular religious beliefs as infidels, misguided, on a path to eternal hellfire. That's where the bad blood among Muslims and Christians, the bad blood between Shiites and Sunnis, the bad blood between Catholics and Protestants come from. Bad religious education. Hafez, he attended religious seminaries. After a while, Hafez got sick and tired of that environment. He was so fed up that he ultimately left the seminary. This is how he describes his experience at the seminary. هاشا که من به موسم گل ترک می کنم. من لاف عقل می زنم این کار کی کنم. مطرب کجاست تا همه محصول زهد و علم در کار چنگ و بربت و آواز نی کنم. از قیل و قال مدرسه حالی دلم گرفت یک چند نیز خدمت معشوق می کنم. God forbid that in the rose season I should abandon wine. I boast to be a man of reason. How can I do such a thing? Where is the minstrel, the musician, so that I throw all the austerity and knowledge I have gathered in the work of the harp and the lyre and deny the voice of the reed? Now my heart is weary and tired of the useless disputations of the seminary. Let me spend some time in the service of the beloved and the service of the wine of love. از قیل و قال مدرسه حالی دلم گرفت یک چند نیز خدمت معشوق می کنم. Now my heart is weary and tired of the useless disputes of the seminary. Let me spend some time in the service of the beloved and the wine of love. In seminaries, the folks are obsessed with beliefs or doctrines. They foolishly think that God is a philosophical idea that can be put in some nice conceptual boxes. According to Hafez, God is not an idea. Rather, God is a beautiful beloved. What do you do with a beloved? You would rejoice in his beauty. His beauty is like wine. It is intoxicating. Rather than arguing over God, we need to appreciate God's beauty. That is intoxicating. As Hallaj, our famous early Muslim mystic, said, "Ma'shuq Khodavand, ma'shuq hame naz bashad, naraz." The beloved is coy, not a puzzle. You see, philosophers view God as an intellectual nut that must be cracked. It's all in the head. Hallaj, on the other hand, said, these guides are completely off track. God is a beloved, not a puzzle to be solved. Now, if you want to get to know God, you have to stop viewing him as an intellectual puzzle that must be worked out in your mind. You need to get to know the beloved through a relationship. Faith, iman, is a relationship, not a set of ideas or beliefs about God. What I just told you is fundamental. I cannot overemphasize this point. If you want to know how mystics appreciate Iman and faith, there you have it. Faith is not a set of ideas or beliefs about God. It is a relationship. If you don't believe me, listen to how the Quran describes the faithful. Pay attention. Chapter 8, verse 2. إنما المؤمنين الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم. True believers are those whose hearts tremble with awe when God is mentioned. Isn't that beautiful? True believers are those whose hearts tremble with awe when God is mentioned. Trembling of the heart is a sign of reverence for God. It's also a sign of love. The hearts of lovers tremble when they see their beloved. Those of you who are fortunate enough to have fallen in love in your life, you know what I'm talking about. How your heart trembles when you see your beloved. This verse points to a loving and awesome relationship between a person of faith and God. When you read the Quran, you come away with a clear sense that this book describes Iman or faith as an existential engagement, not an intellectual engagement. Faith engages your whole being, not just your mind. Check out this verse in the Quran, chapter 5, verse 83. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنِهِمْ تَفِيزُ مِنَ الدَّمْءِ مِمَّا عَرَفُوا مِنَ الْحَقِّ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا آمَنَّا فَاكْتُبْنَا مَعَ الشَّاهِدِينَ. When the believers listen to what has been sent down to the messenger, you will see their eyes overflow with tears because they recognize the truth in it. They say, "Our Lord, we have faith, so count us among the witnesses." Word of God leaves such an impression on the heart and soul of a true believer. Why do believers turn to God? To fill up his brain cells with information about God? Do you turn to God in order to fill up your brain cells with information about the mysteries of this universe or about afterlife? To satisfy your intellectual curiosity? No, no. People of faith turn to God for healing. People of faith turn to God for healing. Chapter 17, verse 82. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. We send down the Quran as healing and mercy to those who have faith. Brothers and sisters, God is a healer. If you have a wounded soul, if you have a sick heart, there is a healer out there who can help. You can visit him. But to get cured, you need to do something really, really important. What is the prerequisite for getting cured? You need to have a close relationship with him. When you tell your friend, "Boy, my doctor is such a wonderful physician. I have very good relationship with my doctor." See, that's what it is. You have to have a good relationship with your physician. God is a healer, is a physician. If you want to get cured, if you want to heal, you need to have a close relationship with God. That relationship is called iman. According to the Quran, this special relationship with God has a number of important attributes and characteristics. If we have enough time, let me share with you at least four of those important characteristics of iman and faith according to the Quran. The most important characteristic of this relationship that we call faith is love. Faith is a loving relationship with God. The Quranic word for love is hub. Let me give you a couple of examples from the Holy Quran. Chapter 5, verse 54. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ يُحِبُّهُمْ وَيُحِبُّونَهُ. O you who have embraced faith, if any of you go back on your faith, God will soon replace you with a people he loves and who love him back. Isn't that amazing? What is the glue according to this verse? It's in the Quran. It's in the Quran. I'm not making it up. What is the glue that ties God with those who have faith? That glue, according to the Quran, is hope or love. This next verse is even more shocking for those who've never heard about love in Islam. Chapter 2, verse 165. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Among people, there are some who take up equals apart from God, loving them like loving God. But those who have faith, they are more ardent in their love for God. The faithful are full of love for God. Love is a property of the heart. So it should come as no surprise to us that the Quran says faith, iman, resides in the heart. The Quran repeatedly makes this very point. Let me give you one example. Chapter 49, verse 14. قَالَتِ الْأَعْرَابُ آمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُولُوا أَسْلَمْنَا وَلَمَّا يُدْخِلُ الْإِيمَانَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. The desert Arabs say, we have faith. O Prophet, tell them, you do not have faith. What you should say instead is, we have submitted, for faith has not yet entered your hearts. Brothers and sisters, what is the message of this verse? If you don't take anything from my talk today, please take this with you. Faith does not grow on tongue. It grows in heart. So do not judge a person's faith by the words she utters in praying or in praising the Lord. Her words may be unpolished from your perspective, from your point of view, from the point of view of your religion. However, unpolished words do not mean unpolished heart. Let me repeat one more time. Unpolished words do not mean unpolished heart. As Rumi so beautifully puts it, God is not interested in glowing phrases of praise. Rather, God is interested in a yearning heart, in a longing heart. ما زبان را ننگریم و قال را، ما درون را بنگریم و حال را. ناظر قلبیم اگر خاشع بود، گرچه گفت لفظ ناخاضع رود. God says, according to Rumi, I do not look at the tongue and the speech. I look at the inward spirit and the state of feeling. I gaze into the heart to see whether it be lowly, though the words uttered be not lowly. Yes, some phrases uttered by your Christian neighbor may sound sacrilegious to you. Why? Because he believes in Trinity and you believe in oneness. However, sacrilegious words don't mean sacrilegious heart. What matters the most is a yearning heart, not colorful language. There are many who think that they have faith, but the Quran says, "Valam tu'min qulubhum." Valam tu'min qulubhum. Their hearts have no faith. That comes from chapter 5, verse 41. Baya ayyuhar rasul, la yahzunku allazina yusari'un fil kufri من الذين قالوا آمنا بأفواههم ولم تؤمن قلوبهم. O messenger, do not be grieved by those who hasten unto disbelief, those who say with their mouths, we have faith, but their hearts have no faith. Their hearts have no faith. So, the first attribute of the relationship with God is love. Faith is a loving relationship with God. The second attribute, the second characteristic of this relationship with God, tawakkul, or trust. Faith is a trusting relationship with God. The faithful put their trust in God. There are many verses in the Quran that speak to this important point. For example, chapter 64, verse 13. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa wa ala Allahi falyatawakkal al-mu'minun. God, there is no God but Him. So let the faithful put their trust in Him. You see, life is not predictable. Life is not predictable. Life can be going along smoothly for a while. Then suddenly it can throw a curveball at you. You may lose your job. You may lose a loved one. You may get a terrible sickness. If you have faith, if your relationship with God is strong, you know that God loves you. He cares for you. He will not abandon you. فَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكِّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The faithful put their trust in God. What does this short phrase mean? It means that the faithful believe in God's words. They believe in God's strength and ability. They believe in God's reliability. God is a reliable partner. The third attribute of this relationship or faith, raja, hope. Hope or raja in Quranic terminology is a crucial component of faith. We live in a world of uncertainty. We get married in the hope that we will have a happy family. We invest in the hope of a good return. However, there is no certainty. There is a risk in every endeavor and in every investment. Faith is an investment in God. It's a choice to trust in God's love, wisdom, and promises. This is how the Quran describes the faithful attitude toward God's mercy. Chapter 39, verse 9. وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. They hope for their Lord's mercy. Notice the verse didn't say, يُوقِنُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ. They are certain of their Lord's mercy. It doesn't say that. It says they hope, not that they are certain. Faith and love, for that matter, are risky propositions. That's where the leap of faith comes in. That's what leap of faith means. You see, initially, when we turn to God and religion, we will take a leap of faith. Now, don't think that leap of faith is illogical or irrational. No. You do it every day. Every day. Every day. We make decisions. We do things. Even though we are not sure that they are right. We are not sure that we will succeed. We take chances every day in the hope of positive outcomes. Now, you might say, I'm not going to take a risk because I don't want to lose. Rumi says, if you do that, this would be even a worse loss. Listen to Rumi. تاجر ترسند طبع شیشه جان در طلب نه سود دارد نه زیان بل زیان دارد که محروم است و خار نور او یابد که باشد شعله خار چون که بر بوک است جمله کارها کار دین اولا کز این یابی رها. The merchant of timid disposition and frail spirit neither gains nor loses in his quest. Nay, he suffers loss, for he is deprived of fortune and he is despicable. Only he who is an eater of flames will find the light. Inasmuch as all affairs turn upon hope, the affair of religion is most worthy to inspire hope, for this means you may win salvation. Very beautiful the way Rumi explains it and the analogies he uses to explain what I just mentioned to you, that you have to take a chance in order to get something out of life. Rumi says, a timid merchant is afraid that if he trades, he may lose money. But how will he ever make money if he does not take a risk and trade? Rumi also uses the example of Moses to make the same point. He says, Moses was searching for fire for his family. Actually, this comes straight from the Holy Quran. Moses was searching for fire for his family. He came across a burning tree. He took a chance. He wasn't afraid to approach the burning tree. And then God spoke to him. He was searching in the hope of fire. Instead, he found light. He found enlightenment. So faith is a relationship that is based on hope. Although nothing is guaranteed, we are hopeful that God will hold our hands every step of the way in our journey. As our faith grows, as our relationship with God improves and gets stronger, we will never be hopeless. We will never despair, even when we face obstacles that look insurmountable at the outset. So, there is still one more attribute of iman or faith that I would like to talk about, but unfortunately we're running out of time and I have to stop right here. Just to summarize, iman or faith is the cornerstone of Islam. We should not confuse iman or faith with theological beliefs or doctrines. Faith is essentially a relationship with God. This relationship has many characteristics: hope, tawakkul, and raja. Love, trust, and hope are among the most important features of this relationship. I understand it is not customary in our Islamic culture for the average Muslim to view iman as a relationship. Instead, we tend to view iman as a set of beliefs and formal doctrines that we must subscribe to. We tend to view faith as a bunch of chores that we must perform meticulously. It was our mystics that really emphasized iman as a relationship. If you embrace iman as a relationship with the characteristic that I just mentioned today, it will transform your appreciation of God and religion. And perhaps more importantly, this awareness, viewing faith as love, trust, and hope, it will put you on a different trajectory in life. Your calculus in life would be different. Inshallah, I will talk about the requirements of faith or iman according to the Quran in my next sermon. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.